Before we begin, a quick message for the grown-ups. If you'd like to support our podcast, enjoy ad-free listening, unlock our complete back catalog of stories, and more, you can join Sleep Tight Premium. Subscribe in just two taps via the link in the show notes. Now, here's a quick word from our sponsors. And now, on to our show. What if your ordinary house cat had an extraordinary secret? Susan thought Tucker was just a regular cat until he introduced her to Cat City, a magical world beneath her house. Now she's caught in an adventure where the stakes couldn't be higher. In The Rat King, the second book in the Adventures of Susan and Tucker series by Patty Larson, Susan's bad dreams turn out to be real. Kidnapped by enemies, it's up to Tucker, stuck in Cat City and facing the Rat King's forces, to rally the cats and save his best friend before it's too late. Packed with mystery, adventure, and heartwarming moments, The Rat King is perfect for readers who love daring heroes and thrilling twists. Find it wherever you buy your books. And don't forget to tune in to The Rat King podcast to experience the story in a whole new way. Follow the link in our show notes to learn more. The Rat King by Patty Larson. Vinny has arrived to rescue Tucker, while Susan tries to delay whatever it is they are hoping she can do for the rats. The Rat King talks to Susan for a long time, and Susan hopes this gives Tucker enough time to make sure that the rats cannot use her to help them get into the city. The Rat King, Chapter 13. Susan expected to be marched to the gate, the Rat King descending from his throne and leading the way out of the large cavern in the opposite direction Tucker had been taken. Instead, she found herself ducking into a smaller chamber, the doorway's height forcing her to bend over to enter, though once inside she was able to straighten up again. It was some kind of sitting room, with what looked like old-fashioned furniture scattered around, reminding her a great deal of the same things they'd found in her house when they'd first moved in. In fact, as she was forced to sit down on one of the long, low daybeds with its torn upholstery and rickety front leg, she realized that's exactly where these pieces had come from. "The basement," she gasped aloud. "You stole these from the basement." Mom had said she planned to refinish them. That wasn't going to happen now. "We are not thieves," the Rat King's response had her cringing inside, though she refused to show it on the outside, sitting up very straight and staring him down as he lunged toward her, red eyes blazing. He was as tall as her in that position, standing on his hind legs, nose and whiskers quivering in her face while he confronted her. "We had everything taken from us. We only use what we are owed." He turned away when she didn't argue with him, pacing over the old rug she also recognized. The king had a faint limp, one back paw oddly shaped and ancient scars across his back. But his size intimidated her, and now that he wasn't dangling his legs like a bad child, she found him frightening at last. "Humans stole our lives from us, our birthright." He turned and sank to his haunches, sitting on a broken chair that tilted dangerously as he did, though one of the other rats rushed forward and propped it up before the king could tumble over. the fact he ignored his helper, or even that he'd been in danger of falling, chilled Susan to the bone. Either he was crazy, more than likely, or he knew without a doubt that his people would protect him at all costs. She wasn't a cruel girl, but she admitted she considered doing something permanent to him. But now that she thought about it more, she realized if she even tried to hurt him, the chances of her surviving such an attempt were very small. "You don't have to be our enemy," his tone changed, shifting as he scooted himself into a human-like sitting position on the chair again. Susan's bubbling laughter was nowhere to be found, even if he did start swinging his skinny legs once more. There was nothing funny about him at all anymore. "The cats have kept us from our city as though they alone belong there. But it was made for all of us, Susan, not just them." Wait, what was he talking about? "Cat City was your home too?" He snarled at the title. "The city," he said with great weight and focus, "was created with our magic, stolen from us and used to form it. It was never named, not until they took claim of it and made it their own." The sorceress. The story Susan heard from the cats didn't sound like his version of events. Not really. The humans built it. "Using our power to do so," the Rat King said as several of his people scurried forward from the darkness. One paused at his feet, little paws holding aloft a cracked plate, as a second came to her and did the same. She frowned at the chipped china saucer with the gold edging flaked away, nose wrinkling over the partially crushed cookie the rat offered her. Her stomach growled, but she didn't take the offering, shaking her head while the Rat King broke his between his long paws and stuffed the entire thing into his mouth in three triangular chunks. "We came first," he said around crumbs that spit from his full mouth. "They used us, Susan. Woke our magic and used it to build their power and the city. They thought when they were done that they could just discard us," he swallowed, his lisp disappearing as he used both front paws to stroke his whiskers. "But they failed. Our magic was awake, and they could not change that." Susan didn't want to listen or believe, shaking her head. But the Rat King wasn't done. "You doubt my story," he said. "You have been manipulated by the cats, told their side of things. As always, they think they are the heroes of the city. But they were betrayed, just like we were, by the humans who made us." He sat back on his chair, the rat holding him upright, grunting a little from the shift in weight, which he ignored. "When the humans realized they couldn't control us or simply use us up and then toss us aside, they created the cats to hunt us, Susan, while they used cat power the way they'd used ours." Could it be true? Susan stared down at her hands, clenched into fists in her lap, while her mind whirled and her heart ached. Of course, he could simply be trying to gain her trust. Then again, she'd told him she would help, and he had Tucker to make sure she did as she said she'd do. There was no reason for the Rat King to try to convince her. Besides, despite her loyalty to her friend, a small and very sad part of her believed him. "When the humans abandoned us," he said, "they locked me away to make sure my people would never unite against their beloved power source, the cats." The king snorted softly, sliding down from the chair. The rat who'd kept him upright quickly scurried away, still bent over and in visible pain, but not complaining. I remained bound for so many years, Susan, my rats unable to rescue me, until a cat came and set me free. A cat who knew the truth that I've told you and understood the real enemy of both of our races has never been each other. Susan felt her skin crawl as he drew closer. Kai freed you, she said. The Rat King didn't respond, not that he had to, but it was the next understanding that had her the most anxious. Humans, she said in a breathless whisper. You blame us. The room had slowly filled with rats, but she only noticed at that moment because they began to chatter as one. The Rat King let them carry on for a bit before waving one paw. The instant silence had her flinching. The sorceress and her kind, he said, not you. As I said, we can be allies, Susan. You can undo what those horrible people did to us. You can free us from the magic that keeps us here, trapped in these tunnels, held here for all time. Wait, they were trapped? The cats didn't say that. You can't leave? We have never been able to pass the border of the forest or this property, he said. And nor will we until the power that the city holds over us is broken. Don't you see, Susan? We're all prisoners here. Only you have the magic that can save us. She didn't get to respond to that, horrified by the entire notion. Did he realize she couldn't bear the thought of him or his people out there in the world doing who knew what? Surely the sorceress bound them here for a good reason. To feed the city, her mind whispered. No, it had to be more than that. Otherwise, the guilt of not helping them would eat her alive. No matter what she decided, the Rat King turned from her before she could say a thing, as one of the larger rats rushed in. It was clear to Susan from the way he limped. From the bloody claw marks on his side, he'd been in some kind of fight. The cats? Had they come? An infiltrator, Your Majesty, the big rat growled. Watch her. The Rat King snapped his jaws together, all of the rats swarming toward the exit. I will deal with this personally. Susan hugged herself tightly as he raced from the room, his people surging after him, leaving her to fight the tears that tried to fall. This can't be right, she thought. The rats are the bad ones. Aren't they? And, on impulse, because she couldn't stand another moment of doubt, she reached out with the magic that had been woken inside her when the first rat bit her. The power that she'd been unable to use above, but stayed with her all this time and tried to prove the Rat King wrong. Only to feel rainbow light erupt from her and form a tall, lean shape that watched her with sad blue eyes. Hello, Susan, the ghostly last life of Kai said. And that is the end of this part. Good night. Sleep tight.